When you mention the 12 days of Christmas in Europe, you start counting on the 25th and keep the celebrations going right up until Epiphany in January. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, we're exploring some of the interesting ways that people in different European countries observe the holiday season. There are lots of special foods you get this time of year, and how you feel about them might be different if you're spending your Christmas in France, in Italy, or in Norway. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. In just a bit, we'll hear about some really distinctive holiday traditions that come with the season in Greece. We'll also hear how a backwoods version of Santa got drafted a few years ago to bring gifts to the good children in Spain's Basque Country on Christmas Eve. Let's start with a quick check-in on how the season's shaping up in London. It's Christmas time. Jolly old England. Big city, London. What's it like? I'm with Tom Hooper and Gillian Chadwick, two Blue Badge guides from London. Tom and Gillian, thanks for joining us this Christmas. How do you celebrate Christmas in London? What tips do you have for travelers that might be visiting London during Christmas?
Definitely go and see all the lights, Harrods and Fortnum and Mason, all the shops.
And Hamleys, the toy store.
So Oxford Circus, that area?
Yeah, and Regent Street. Yeah.
Regent Street, Oxford
Regent Street's
Circus.
The big thing for lights.
Regent Street. And then the great stores. What stores are most famous for their window displays?
Harrods, Fortnum and Mason.
Selfridges.
And kids, what's the kids' wonderland?
Kids is Hamleys.
Yeah,
kids is Hamleys.
And how about classical music and Christmas sort of culture?
There'll be carol concerts all over the place.
Oh,
churches.
Yes, and we have the Christmas tree in Trafalgar Square from Norway.
Norway gives, what's the story about that?
Oslo gives.
Because the Norwegian royal family lived in exile in London during the Second World War. And so as a sign of their gratitude, they send us a giant Christmas tree every year.
Yeah. Every Christmas you get a tree from Norway?
Yes. Specifically Oslo.
The people of Oslo?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have a sort of lighting thing like you do Christmas trees here. And then they have carols almost every single evening around the Christmas tree.
And all the proceeds go to charity.
Yes.
On Trafalgar Square?
Yes. Yeah.
In front of the National Gallery.
Right in front of the National Gallery with the view of Big Ben down in the distance.
Glorious. And I've noticed it doesn't snow a lot in London, but there's always snow on Trafalgar Square.
Of course.
What do? They make some snow there for the party? I saw the kids there on the snow. It was wonderful.
No, it's targeted snow. We have this special weather which you can
right
target.
Right there, a little microclimate on Trafalgar Square.
Shoot the clouds, Mac.
And
ice rinks as well.
Ice rinks. I was going to say, down at Somerset
House. The Natural History Museum.
Tower of London's got one now in the moat as well. They have one there.
In the moat.
Ice rink crazy. Yeah.
Around the tower?
A bit of it. It would be really good to
all around the Tower of London. So there's a lot of fun in London during Christmas
and,
time.
And really good place for Christmas to go is Hampton Court Palace, which is about 30 minutes train ride. And they have loads of Christmas events and they have their own ice rink as well.
And what are the traditional things to eat and drink at Christmas time for you?
Turkey. Stuffing and bread sauce, cranberry sauce.
And this thing
and
called Christmas pudding.
Now, what is Christmas pudding?
Which is this unbelievably rich fruit and suet mix, it should be.
Yes.
Which is boiled, really, isn't it? It's sort of, you put it in a pan with boiling, in its own container, in boiling water, and slowly over 16 years now, about whatever time, it heats up.
So it's been simmering for
it's
a long time.
It's pretty heavy.
Yes, it's very heavy.
Is a figgy pudding, is that something at Christmas?
Nearly the same.
And mince pies, but they're illegal, aren't they?
Yes.
Why are they illegal?
Thanks to Oliver Cromwell.
Banned them in the 17th century.
Well, he banned Christmas.
Yeah.
Oliver Cromwell, what an evil man. You're free to celebrate Christmas now.
Yes.
We can, yes.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you in London. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's leave behind the big city holiday bustle in London and forget about how many shopping days are left till Christmas and head to a small town in the Italian countryside. Cecilia Bottai lives on her family's winemaking estate, just a little outside of Orvieto in central Italy. She joins us now for a look at what the Christmas season is like this time of year where she lives. So Cecilia, when we're thinking about Christmas in small town Italy, how would it vary? How would it differ in Umbria in a small town from, say, Rome or Milano?
Well, you know, everything is still very local. There is much more the sense of the family. and you start preparing food and events to meet your cousins, to meet their grandparents, their in-laws. So everybody's preparing something or invites people. They play cards a lot.
Playing cards in the
cards
village? In
the home.
What kind of cards?
Well, we play Scala 40, it's called, Scale 40, or Burraco, it's another game we do.
And are these the old men that get together, or the whole family?
No, the whole family, children, adults, everybody.
All right.
And bingo, yes.
What's the Italian word for bingo?
Tombola.
What would the prize be for the winner?
Little things like a candy, like a torrone, or a panettone, or these little things, nothing special.
Now, you live in a beautiful farm across the canyon from Orvieto. Tell me, just very briefly, the schedule for the Christmas festivities that's coming up for your household.
Well, normally in my family and most of the families in Italy, we celebrate the 24th of December with the family. We have a dinner with no meat. We have fish recipes. We have a lot of soups, which are lentil soups or recipes from the past.
Okay, big family dinner, no meat, Christmas Eve. What happens towards midnight on Christmas Eve?
We go to Mass, mm-hmm. and then some families do open the gifts before Mass. Some families do open the gifts after Mass.
After Mass, meaning late at night or the next
late
morning?
Late at night means Mass is like around 10:30, 11 o'clock. You come midnight and you open the gifts that are located under the tree or under the nativity. And normally they have the tree and the nativity in the houses.
Now, the nativity is a big deal all over Italy.
Yeah, you have beautiful ones, yeah. And you really, almost every house, even people, if people are not very religious, they do have the nativity in the house. I do have a nativity, a whole nativity. It's not just the Mary, Jesus, the donkey. I do have a whole landscape. I mean, it's the shepherds. It's a big, big, big.
So what's the funniest little figure in your nativity scene?
Oh, I have butchers, carpenters, I have the waterfalls. And you know that in my farm, we also have a chapel. So we have one also in the chapel. So we have two nativities, one in my mother's home and the other one is in the chapel.
And you're quite close to Assisi, where I believe the first nativity scene ever was put together, because St. Francis was a great teacher, and he found it was easy to teach the story of Christmas with the visual aid of a nativity scene.
Yeah, it's in Greccio. It's very close to Assisi, and they do live nativities there. So you have a poor woman staying there like Mary, really freezing.
Shivering in the December cold of an Italian mountain.
With a donkey and the cow and a poor man who's St. Joseph, and the baby normally is not a real baby. They put like
a doll. But so they've got these real people shivering at midnight on Christmas Eve in a living nativity.
Yes, they do.
And are they all alone, or are they appreciated? Are people coming out to see them?
No, people come to see them. It's a tradition. It's a moment. Everybody feels good and nice at Christmas time. Maybe the next day it's hell again, but Christmas, it's Christmas. It's something else.
So the churches are full on Christmas, even if they're empty 2 weeks later.
Well, you know the size of the Duomo for Vieto.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's gigantic. It's packed.
Really?
Really, yes.
On Christmas Eve?
Yes, on Christmas Eve.
Okay, so now you've got your midnight mm-hmm. mass, basically.
Yeah.
Many people go home and open presents then.
Yeah.
And then people are quite tired. It's been exciting. A lot mm-hmm. of family and relatives, a lot of work to set up for this.
Yes.
The next day, what happens?
Another meal with meat.
Now you have meat.
Of course, because it's the next day.
And what kind of meat in Umbria?
We normally have lamb or turkey. These are the typical, and also the zampone, cotechino, it's a pork recipe, which is to be served with lentils. It's like a very big sausage of pork meat mixed with the skin of the pork. And then you have a kind of pasta. Then you have the vegetables, the lentils, then panettone, pandoro, torrone, pan pepato, cantuccini.
It sounds like a lot of sweets. Cantuccini
is
a sweet?
Yeah, it's the cantuccini too, yes. And
what
then
is that?
The ricciarelli. It's the cookies you call biscotti.
You dip it in your wine?
Yes.
And then the ricciarelli,
it's kind of an almond pastry.
With a powdered sugar
Yeah,
on
with
it.
A powdered sugar on top, and it's an almond pastry. And they are originally from Siena, but they're spread very popular all over the country.
And then the fruitcake?
Pan pepato is from Umbria. It's a mix of chocolate, hazelnuts, almonds, pine nuts, pepper, sugar.
So nobody's losing any weight on Christmas?
I don't think so.
A lot of work, a lot of food, a lot of sweets. And then I understand the culmination is not until January 6th.
Yeah, no. Till January 6th is the Befana Day, and this is when all the holidays finishes.
And that's the day the wise men finally brought the gifts to the baby Jesus, the 12th day of Christmas.
Yes, yes.
But if you're a child in Italy, that's the day the scary witch.
Yeah, the scary witch, but she's not scary because she gives you a nice sock, and in the sock you might have different things. If you did behave, you have all the sweets and candies. If you didn't behave, you might have some coal in it, which means you didn't behave properly. And I remember doing once a little joke to my grandma. I did put her the big sock with a big, big piece of coal in it, and she returned it to me with 50 euro. That was very nice.
Very nice. Now, when you go to the 10:30 Mass on Christmas Eve, which hymn, which carol are you looking forward to? Which one do you enjoy singing?
Well, we all sing Astro del Ciel.
What is that?
Astro del Ciel, Carmen Divin, Mite Agnello Protettor.
That's Silent Night
in Italian version.
Beautiful. Can you wish our listeners right now, who are getting quite excited about the culmination of the holiday season, a Merry Christmas Italian style in your language?
Allora, un buonissimo Natale. Un felicissimo anno nuovo e spero di trovarvi, di vedervi tutti presto in Italia.
I'd like to say beautiful, but I didn't understand all of that. Can you translate?
I wish you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and I normally say New Year's, why should I limit it to one? And I wish you to see you all in Italy soon.
Say that again in Italian, please.
Vi auguro un ottimo Natale, dei felici anni nuovi e spero di vedervi presto tutti in Italia.
That's beautiful. Cecilia Bottai from Umbria, just north of Rome. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you.
Christmas preparations take us next to France and Norway, and later to Greece and Basque Country in Spain, as we celebrate the season across Europe on Travel with Rick Steves. Support for Travel with Rick Steves comes from Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone believes that knowing even just a little bit of a new language can help take down barriers so your trip can be truly memorable. Helping people learn language for more than 20 years, it's now available on smartphones and tablets. Learn more at rosettastone.com/ricksteves.